Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
And welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today, coming to you live from the floor of the Los Angeles Education Congress, is Peggy Normandy. And Peggy is with Call Me Catholic, which is a nationwide show that is broadcast on EWTN. Welcome, Peggy.
Thank you, Rick. It's a pleasure and a privilege to be here with you.
And so the noises we're going to be hearing all during this entire hour.
Did you invite all these people, by the way?
I did. I made sure every single one of them came right at this time, just before lunchtime. So in a few minutes, we're going to be also not only having all the sounds, but we'll be talking about the smells that our listening audience won't be able to hear.
Okay. Very good with that.
But before we start that, if you'd be so kind as to lead us in a word of prayer, I'm sure our listening audience would be so happy.
Well, what an honor. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, we ask you to inspire our conversation today, guide us to the topics that you find worthy of this fine show, and bless our host, Rick Howick, and may our hearts always be grateful for these opportunities that we have and for our listeners who enjoy the conversation with us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. And once again, we are coming to you live from the floor of the Los Angeles Religious Education Congress, and Peggy, I want to thank you so much for taking some time. I know that you have been doing your show live from the floor here today as well.
It's very fun. It's a different dynamic.
It is a much different dynamic. I've done some both live and some recorded ones before at shows like this, and it really is a very different dynamic because you just go with whatever
lots of energy. Lots of energy.
But the reason why I wanted to make sure we had a chance to talk is because you have had quite a dynamic year or so. You started a program a little more than a year, but almost two now, isn't it?
2 years, yes, 2 years, over and, 2 years.
And that show, which started small here in Orange County, kind of then exploded, and you're now on EWTN coast to coast, nationwide. Tell us a little bit about your show.
It's a big mess. It exploded. You're right. It's a big mess. Well, Rick, as you know, on Christ Cathedral campus, they built a beautiful radio studio to kind of perpetuate the Reverend Schuller's broadcast legacy. And I had an idea for a show, and they said, well, let's give it a try. And it was called Call Me Catholic. It was about our identity as Catholics, how we embrace that identity, the perils and blessings therein. And it was broadcast locally, up and down the West Coast, more or less, once a week. And after a year, EWTN had some interest in it. It's a little bit of a different voice for EWTN, but they invited me to come on to their network. So now we are once a week broadcast globally to all their national affiliates through SiriusXM and also to some of their shortwave international partners. And it's very exciting because it is live. My previous show is pre-recorded, so we can also take calls from listeners who have questions or comments, and that's very spontaneous. So I feel like it has a lot more energy when it's live, and I'm very, very honored to be working with EWTN. I think Mother Angelica is such an icon of feminism, as it should be.
Absolutely.
Isn't she amazing?
She is amazing. She's an amazing icon. Yeah. I like that imagery. That's very good. Your show is broadcast live on Saturday mornings. What time?
Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern.
Okay.
Now, we're here on the West Coast, so I tend to want to call it morning, but I guess the standard is you always call it by its Eastern time. So it's 1 p.m. Eastern for an hour, and I have to catch myself not calling it the morning when we're broadcasting.
But since we're broadcasting to Southern California, that's about 10 a.m.
It is 10 a.m. It's just 10 about.
10 a.m. on Saturday mornings.
Give or take.
Give or take. What's the format? What do you do? What's your show like?
Well, the show has three different components that repeat every week. The first is a 10-minute intro where I welcome, you know, Jimmy G is my engineer and fact checker, I call him, and we have a little give and take, and then I introduce the theme of the day, and I have always, into that theme, I have what I call the Call Me Catholic Countdown, where I list the top five of that category, whether it's my top five favorite pieces of religious art or my top five favorite ways to practice Lent, whatever it is. I mean, I've gone through everything. Today, because we're broadcasting from the Religious Education Congress, I had the top five workshops that I would attend if I could, because this program is so diverse
sure.
and broad. So that's fun, and that takes up about 11 minutes. And then in the next two segments, I introduce a guest and interview the guest, and I try to get people off the grid. You know, you tend to see a lot of the same authors, especially with some of the Christian books and personalities that are sort of recycled, and they're for good reason because they're
sure.
great interviews. But I try to get outside that box and try to bring in people that the listeners haven't heard of or haven't heard a perspective from. So I interview them for two segments, and then in the last 10 minutes, I have what I call Chatting with Catholics, where I have pre-recorded a segment where I take my microphone to a gathering of Catholic people, whether it's Catholic adults. Sometimes I go to grammar schools. That's always my very favorite venue. And I ask them all the same question. It's not a right or wrong question. It's just a, what do you think? Who's your favorite saint? Do you think you? My favorite was when I went to a grammar school, third graders, and I asked them whether they thought they could be a saint. And the answers were so precious and so honest and unfiltered. So then we edit that together to about a seven-minute segment, and that's how we close the show. So it really is designed to be very light. It's Catholic light, L-I-T-E.
Catholic light.
Very, very fun and lively and animated.
So this show, then, is located at Southern California on the campus there in Garden Grove. So this gives you and gives EWTN an interesting entree to the West Coast market, so to speak, of speakers, of people who are out there
right.
that they wouldn't have otherwise. So tell me, who have been some of these speakers that you've brought on, and what have they had to say about Catholicism in the West?
Well, I think probably my most profound guest, and he is a recent transplant to the West Coast, would be Bishop Robert Barron.
Okay.
He is with the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, and he's stationed up in Santa Barbara. And
although I think right now he's about 60 feet away from us.
Yeah, he has presence here on the exhibitor floor. Big crowds around him. That's where you know. But Bishop Barron is where the big crowds are. But he agreed to come onto the show, and it was very cute because before the show went live, I said to him, "Now, Bishop Barron, this is a very light show. It's very different from what you normally engage in." And he said, "So, you know, I shouldn't be talking about Kierkegaard and Jung and all that kind of stuff." I said, "Well, you can talk about it, but I won't have a lot of responses to it." And he was very fun. He's just such a bright and engaging, very casual man.
Yes,
I sort of expected him to be a little more refined, a little more unapproachable. But no, he's very conversational. So he was really fun. I've gotten some of the people from the entertainment industry that have come on. No huge luminaries, but people that brush with that industry.
So when they've come on and you've had a chance to actually talk with them a little bit, what have you found has been a theme that seems to be running through what you're picking up from people that are in the West Coast? Is there a difference to how people look at their Catholic faith and how they live it out in the West? Since your program is about Call Me Catholic. It's about how do we live this out in our lives. Are you seeing a difference, do you think, from how people approach it here versus elsewhere in the country?
That's a great question, Rick. And I actually ask my guests that a lot. You know, do you feel like your regional church is different from other parts of the country? I really think that the American Catholic Church has a commonality in our beliefs, but I think it translates really differently. We're a big country, and I think you take the South, for example. People from the South are much more expressive, very traditional, very orthodox in their beliefs. I think on the West Coast, you find people that are much more informal about their faith. And the other thing I like about people on the West Coast, in addition, is that they tap into the arts a lot as an expression of faith, which I enjoy very much. I love talking about movies. I love talking about books and television and art and all those kinds of themes where we can find the values and the truths of our faith played out. So, yeah, I do think there's huge regional differences. I think New Yorkers have a long, long history of Catholicism that came in through the immigrants. The churches were built by immigrants. You know, here on the West Coast, we also have the huge influence of Mexico and the St. Junipero Serra's missions, which established a lot of our Catholic culture that other states don't have. So it's that Hispanic influence, and we see that in a lot of our parishes on the West Coast. Yeah, so it expresses itself differently, I think, in different parts of the country.
We have some things in the East Coast right now that, because of the demography changes that are going on, where people are often leaving the Northeast and coming down to both the South and to the West, the parishes are having to close in different cities around.
Yeah.
And we see this especially in the Catholic schools that are up there. Whereas our parishes down here are growing into mega sizes.
Yeah, we're the fastest growing diocese in the country, I think.
Have you noticed that the people who you talk to, because you do a lot of talk at parishes, you do a lot of work, as you said, you go to school sometimes to get just the kids' opinions, but also you're an observer, I'm sure, of parish life that's out here. Do you notice that the parish life is a different type of a flavor than what you would experience back there?
You know, parish life is such a subjective experience. You know, I could walk into one parish and find people that had felt terribly marginalized at that parish, and yet I could also find people that felt very, very engaged. I think what is happening on the West Coast is that we really do have a lot of the Asian cultures, populations coming in, very, very devout, very passionate Catholics, and they are animating the parishes. We have some Hispanic parishes that are thriving, Vietnamese. So I think that different cultures are coming in and reinvigorating the American mainstream church, and I see that on the West Coast really powerfully. You know, we all go through periods where we feel sort of disenfranchised. We just feel a lackluster relationship with our faith, and we might, with our parish, and we might hop around from parish to parish till we find that energy that we want. But, you know, sometimes it comes from the parish priest. Sometimes it comes from the people that you meet. There's a parish up in Los Angeles, St. Monica's, that has a pastor named Monsignor Torgerson. I have had so many people from the Los Angeles area, when they come on my show, they'll mention him specifically because he is such a draw. I have never met him myself, but I have got to go up to that parish because he singularly has burst that parish.
You do now, because this is going to be broadcast, of course, in Los Angeles. So someone from that parish is going to hear it. They're going to talk to Monsignor Torgerson.
Call the Monsignor Torgerson.
And they're going to come after Peggy Normandine, and they're going to ask you to be talking to him at some point very soon. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me is Peggy Normandine, who is from the Call Me Catholic show. And we're broadcasting live from the floor at the Los Angeles Religious Education Congress here in Anaheim, California. And when we come back, I'm going to be turning this a little more personal on Peggy, asking her a little bit about why she got into this and what this has meant to her. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Peggy Normandine, and we're coming to you with all the noise and joy from the floor of the Los Angeles Religious Education Congress. We are approximately 11:30 when this is being taped, which means that the smells are beginning to come in from the lunch that's being prepared out there. You can smell it, but I had only a small breakfast, so I smell it really well. I don't know if you like, if you're a foodie.
I'm still smelling the coffee, and that booth is right behind us here.
Oh, that is true. I can smell that as well. You know, it's the sensuality sometimes that really gets to us in life. I'm a convert to the Catholic faith.
I came out of
Presbyterianism. I had been in seminary, had finished the Master's in Divinity, all the ordination exams, and then started a second Master's in Early Church History, and of course discovered that the entire Early Church was Catholic, which ruined your career as a Presbyterian minister to become Catholic. So, yeah,
that was quite a journey.
It was quite a journey. One of the things that always has struck me and continues to strike me is the humanity, the sensuality of Catholic faith.
Yes.
The smells and bells, the Father, your purse is on fire as he comes through and has all the smoking. But it's about the totality of who we are and why we get involved. We're not a head religion. We like the head, but we're so much a body religion too.
Yeah.
It's about all of us. So with that in mind, I want to not just talk about what you do with Call Me Catholic, but you, why you got into this, because that really is what colors all of us, is the motivations why we do. So why did you decide that you were going to take on a project like Call Me Catholic a couple of years ago, long before you knew you were even going to have a market necessarily for this, long before EWTN said they were going to, yes, we want you to do this? What got you involved?
Well, that is not quite as circuitous a route as you took, but I will get back to the sensory aspect of our faith, because that does lead into how I got into this radio program. I agree with you. I love all the sensory aspects of our faith. I love the devotions. I love the practices. I love the experience when the Mass is in full regalia. the smells, the bells, the beautiful music. I think Holy Saturday liturgies are probably the culmination of all of that, and I absolutely love that. And I also love the outward trappings of our faith. I love the medals people wear. I love to go into a home and see religious imagery on the walls, a book on the counter. I love to walk, get into somebody's car and see a St. Christopher medal or some other aspect of our faith in bold display. And that was kind of what drew me to the concept of my show, Call Me Catholic, which is embrace the faith for all of its fullness. Don't be a half-hearted Catholic. Don't be shy about branding yourself as a Catholic, because it's a good thing. And if it leads to conversation from people that are antagonistic toward the faith, well, so be it. What have you got to lose? You know, I wear these medals around my neck, and when I play tennis, frequently when you go up across the net to shake hands after you've played, and I usually am the loser, they will look and say, oh, what are those? That's such cute, you know, thinking I've got some little tchotchkes around my neck. And then they'll see their medals. They're clearly Catholic medals. I always say I have the Holy Family here. I have the Blessed Mother. I have Joseph and Jesus, and I have the Sacred Heart.
Those are very nice.
They're just my little little things.
They're nice.
Thank you. And so people will react one of two ways. They'll say, oh, well, one of several ways. Oh, I used to be. Oh, I was Catholic. I was Catholic growing up.
I've grown out of that.
Yeah, so you'll get over it. Yeah. You'll get over it, right? Oh, I was Catholic. Or else they'll say, oh, you're Catholic. Or else sometimes they'll say, oh, that's it. Like, oh, I'm sorry I mentioned it. But I love the fact that it makes me own it. Own it. And this is a little bit of what my show is about and what gives voice to my program, which is let's own being Catholics and let's celebrate it and let's not dodge that one. Does it come with questions that are sort of gritty and sort of grisly sometimes? Yeah, but isn't that what makes life really interesting? And so I love to get, you know, just talk to Catholics doing various lines of work or have niches of experience or knowledge and talk to them about that. How I came into the opportunity of doing the show was sort of serendipitous, really. I had approached the diocese about some other project, and I found out they were doing a radio show, and they said, do you have any ideas? And I said, well, yeah, I have an idea. So I kind of drafted up my Call Me Catholic idea, and it just kind of took off. And like so many things that the Holy Spirit prompts you towards, it's nothing that I set down and outlined and plotted out and said, and after 1 year, I'm going to do this. And then it's still a very undiscovered road for me, Rick. And it came to me at a kind of a later time in my life. I always wanted to be a newscast when I was right out of college. I just never knew how to get there. And lo and behold, at this more advanced stage of my life. Hey, there's
advanced something. Advanced stage of your life. And she waves to people as they go on by. She knows everyone in Orange County.
That's no. Those are some good old friends of mine.
That's very good.
So I took the opportunity, and I thought maybe it is great that it's coming when I'm a little bit more seasoned, because I am not self-conscious about being Catholic. Maybe I might have been in my 30s. Maybe I might have been in my 20s. I might have been a little more, oh, what is this going to mean? How is it going to impact the way people treat me? But now it's the proudest thing I have next to my marriage and my three sons. My Catholic identity, bring it, man, because I love it, and I'm happy to talk about it.
You are so positive about it. One of the things that I have noted when I first became Catholic, when you do that, the people who were part of your former life, they also respond in one of two ways. Either, I'm so glad that you are making such choices, or why on earth are you doing that and being involved with those Neanderthals? And it's so negative.
What are you thinking?
And you're not in any way that way, yet you still confront every time that you're on the show the question, why is it that I call myself Catholic? Mm-hmm. What do you believe is central to holding such a positive embrace of the faith in an era when it's not always perceived so positively?
Well, it comes naturally to me. It's not an affectation. I would have to attribute that to my upbringing. I was raised in a Catholic home by parents that were both Catholic. They met in college at the Newman Center at UCLA. And, you know, Rick, I was comfortable with it. It gave me a sense of security. It anchored my life. And I admired my parents so much for their devotions. And I saw that it gave them such peace and strength. I remember as a little girl occasionally going into my parents' room after I was supposed to be in bed or whatever, and I would see my dad kneeling at his bedside to say his prayers. I mean, he was a manly man, but there he was kneeling and saying his prayers, and I knew there was something right and good about that. And so it's been like my skin. It would feel very uncomfortable not to be Catholic. And that's not to say that I've always been an exemplary Catholic. I went through very lukewarm years.
You were a normal person.
No, no one has ever accused me of that, Rick. But, it's funny. Wow. I have a college friend, and we were in sorority together, and we were having a get-together with our sorority sisters. And they laughed, and they said, Peggy, you know what we remember about you? You were the only one that got up and went to Mass on Sunday, or went to your church. They didn't even call it Mass. You went to your church on Sunday at college. And I thought, I guess I remember that. And it's not like I felt like I was a goody two-shoes, but I think during college I thought, well, it just made me feel like I was home. You know, I'd go back there to go home.
Well, and that's part of the whole embrace of Catholic faith, is that it becomes part of our lifestyle. One of the things in the United States that I think permeates the culture and still does, and it has from the very beginning, is a Protestantism that is based on intellectual belief. And Catholicism has so much practice to it.
Works.
So I'm a little actually uncomfortable with that word. I'd rather call it follow-through.
I like that. That's faith, very good.
It's faith and follow-through.
That's good, Rick.
You're not working to get anywhere. Jesus did it all on the cross, but now what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
And it's how do you live that out? If we go all the way back to when we encountered the Native Americans, one of the biggest issues that we had as a culture with them was they can't articulate what they believe as well as they can show us what they practice.
Right.
And practice isn't religion from a Protestant perspective, which means today, as we have become so culturally correct in how we approach things, I still find it interesting that there does seem to be in our society a hiccup when it comes to encountering Catholic faith. And I'm wondering if that's because there still is that leftover of how America was so grounded in Protestantism, or if that's more of a throwback into the Catholic faith is really such a Neanderthal-based religion. Hmm. And what I've encountered with you is something that I think is very interesting. You don't seem to care. I'm happy about living this
out.
You
noticed that, huh?
You're happy about living it out. Yeah. And I'm wondering, those two issues that... Do they ever come into play for you? Have they ever come into play for you? This pull to be more conforming when, as you were saying in college, to be more conforming with your sorority sisters. Was there a time when that pull actually affected you in ways that you look back now and say, gosh, I guess it did affect me?
I don't remember the culture being that non-Catholic. In fact, when I've talked to people in the entertainment business, you know, I always say... Catholic themes used to be very mainstream in movies. You know, you have...
Going My Way,
On the Waterfront, Sound of Music, The Bells of St. Mary, all of those, Bing Crosby things and beyond. And now, I feel it now, is a little more uncomfortable about certain issues. And I think that has to do with some of the political issues, some of the values that we've taken a hard stand on. And what worries me is that we're not articulating it well. This is where I think Catholics, stay smart, learn your stuff, practice talking about it at home around the dinner table, because when you don't articulate it well, it comes off wrong. And that's where I think people accuse us, you know, some of the issues with same-sex marriage, abortion issues. I think that shouldn't be so hard to defend. You know, it shouldn't be so hard to say the pro-life platform without sounding controversial. But I didn't notice it. I notice it more now. I feel more of the edge, the uncomfortable schism now between the mainstream and Catholics, and kind of standing out on a ledge saying, yes, this is actually what we believe.
I am so glad that we're having a chance to talk about that. When we come back, I want to then shift gears a little bit and go back to your show and some of the, maybe the five favorite things that you've enjoyed about your show. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. With me today is Peggy Normandine, coming to you live from the floor at the Los Angeles Religious Education Congress, and we'll be right back.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.
And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you with all the noises and smells and sounds of the floor at the Los Angeles Religious Education Congress. And with me today has been Peggy Normandine, who's been bravely sitting with me as we go through talking a little bit about not only her program, but about her life. And I want to now kind of integrate the two a little bit. You've now spent the last couple of years where this has been a primary focus in your life,
is
working with Call Me Catholic. And I'm kind of curious, what have been some of the most, let's say you like five?
Yeah.
How about your five best shows?
Okay.
What were those five best shows and why?
Well, you know, as they say, as authors say, it's like picking a child. But I do have ones that come back up into my consciousness very quickly. There's two women in the greater LA area that are in the entertainment business. They call themselves the Audio Girls. They do a lot of commercial things, but they're very, very pro-life, and they are very positively pro-life. They are one of those voices that you just love to listen to because they're so happy and energetic, and they also compose music. And so I've had them on several times, and I love it when we bring them on because they infuse so much happy energy into the studio, and it's very, very contagious. So I would say that was one of my favorite shows. I also had a show recently where I took my microphone to New York. I was visiting New York, and I went and asked if I could visit with the rector of St. Patrick's Cathedral.
Did you have to bring a passport to get in? It's so different.
No. Yes, I had to dress completely differently, like they actually had cold weather back there.
Wow.
No, but I love New York. Okay. New York is my favorite city in the world. So this was a thrill, and I got to go on a tour of St. Patrick's Cathedral that was narrated by the rector.
Wow.
And then I visited the Sheen Center as part of the program also, where the new cultural arts forum that they have there in Greenwich Village area, where it's a fabulous venue for all kinds of different theater and performances and concerts and speakers and book groups and everything like that. So I went and interviewed the artistic director there. And that was really fun because I love New York, and I wish I could do more of that kind of traveling to different areas. So that would be number four. So then if I always count from the bottom up. So then my third favorite.
No, wait. Go back to the New York thing.
Yeah.
So what was the one thing from that you take with you that you say, okay, in this, I really, truly am changed because I did this show with my microphone in New York?
Well, the experience of doing that is kind of bold, you know, to pretend like I'm just Peggy Normandine, you know, like from the Today Show or something like that. It's kind of silly. So that, I developed a lot of confidence that way. I mean, nobody threw anything at me, and that was really good. But, you know, I think New York is an amazing story. The immigrants that came and built, came through Ellis Island, built that Manhattan. I don't think I could ever get tired of that city and how the skyscrapers came up. There are churches and cathedrals, mostly churches everywhere. Each one of them has a different story. In broad, next time I go to New York, I want to interview the pastor of what they call the Actors Chapel. And it's named after a saint, but it's down there in the theater district. And they have 11 p.m. Mass on Saturday night, and all the actors that have been in the theater productions around there attend. And it's really infused with that theatrical spirit.
Wow, very cool.
So they have so many parishes that address, whether it's cultural or life, or, you know, professional or whatever it is. I love that. So
My daughter will be very happy they have that there. She wants to do musical theater. She's a junior in high school.
Oh, all
and
right.
That's her big thing.
Has she done any theater in high school yet?
Oh, yeah. She's
any roles that I would know?
Well, she's done, and I forget the name of the role, in theater, Fiddler on the Roof, The Matchmaker.
Oh, Yenta.
Yenta.
Matchmaker, give me a match.
That's right, that whole thing, yeah. So that's what's going on, and so we can do a shameless plug for that. That's actually out at, anyway.
That's a great musical,
it
though.
It is a great musical. She's having a...
She's got some good numbers.
One of the big things that she keeps asking me, Dad, Are they all that liberal? Are there any Catholics in the entire group? I said, St. Luke Productions. I got to link you up with them.
True.
So, yes, I've had a couple of chances to talk with him. But anyway, so back to New York, though.
Well, part of that, you know, but no, let's stay on that because I love this subject.
Okay.
Part of that is the lifestyle itself.
Yeah.
You know, the lifestyle itself, up late hours on Saturday night. How do you get up and go to Mass on Sunday? But, you know, I think in any profession like that, this is where I have to say, don't be afraid to say, I'm going to Mass. I'm sorry, I got to go to Mass. And you'd be surprised how many people next week, the following week, might say, are you going to Mass? I'd like to go to Mass.
You. Yeah.
My son tells a story. He lives up in Portland, very liberal area. And he said one Ash Wednesday, he just happened to say to somebody, and he's in an advertising agency, right, a big advertising agency. So he said, well, I got to go. And they said, where are you going? He says, well, it's Ash Wednesday. I want to go to noon service. And the woman, like in the desk next to him, said, I'm going to go. Can I go with you?
Yeah.
So just be that positive voice, and people will be attracted to it. That's my advice to your daughter.
I have told. Thank you very much, because I've told her a very similar thing, and she's actually told me that people will, once they got used to her. She's a very up personality. Cool. Once they got used to her, it was, oh yeah, she's the Catholic.
Yeah.
And so they know that there's certain things that she will not do.
Darn
and
straight,
certain
I
things
am,
that,
right.
that she loves yeah. to hang along with, and it's been very good.
It's a great anchor in your life.
Number three,
we're doing from
five to one on your top five shows you think really kind of had an impact on you.
Okay, I would say that I would have to give Bishop Robert Barron a shout out for that one, because it was an honor, and maybe I'm just saying it because it was Bishop Barron, but he is so articulate and so smooth. And I remember asking him the question, what did the apostles talk about once Jesus had risen from the dead? They were out there spreading. They didn't have a catechism. They didn't have a playbook. What were they talking about? And he expounded on that so beautifully. And so people like that, I love it when somebody can just lift me up and clarify things for me.
I had an encounter with him back when he was just plain old ordinary Father Robert Barron. But he was sitting at a table at the Washington, D.C., the Basilica of the Shrine of the Immaculate Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there just about all by himself. Most of the crowds had already left. And so I walked up, he had the book that he was working with, and I just asked him a couple of questions. And he engages anybody who comes up to him, because he didn't know who I was or met him, nor would he care at that point. But
you probably made a very big impression on him.
He engaged so beautifully and so nicely and so deeply, and he adjusted very quickly to who you are and where you're coming from.
Yeah.
That was what struck me about him. I don't know if you took that as well.
I feel exactly that way about him. And, of course, he is a very charismatic man. Mm-hmm. And so it's beautiful that we have someone like that that can be an ambassador to the faith, that can speak so personally. And, yes, he is. If he was a very distant man, I don't think he'd be, even with his brains and his, I don't think he would be as popular as he is or as well received as he is. I think it is that personal one-on-one connection that he makes with people.
I think that the ability for him to be here on the West Coast with the ability to be on the air with shows like yours and other things that he's able to do is going to be a very important thing for our church into the future. Okay. So I'm very glad about that.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, number two.
Number two.
Number two would be I had the people that founded CatholicSingles.com, which is the original first dating site, online site for Catholics.
Oh,
and
I love it.
David Navarro has established it back in the 1990s when online dating was kind of a risky landscape.
And everyone kind of looked at you askance.
Yeah, you. In fact, you didn't mention
it.
You did this all very anonymously. Yeah. But he had the bold vision to establish that. It's become very, very successful. So he met his wife on CatholicSingles.com. So they got married, and the business has continued to flourish. So they came on my show. We talked about online dating for Catholics, and they brought a wonderful, lovely young woman from the entertainment business, and they set her up. They set her up through kind of different criteria that they were looking at. And they got this man on the phone who called, and they set up the date. And that was really fun. Our listeners really enjoyed that. They felt like they were part of a little matchmaking.
Yeah, that would be really fun.
Yeah,
good.
That was cute.
Good.
Okay, and my number one might sound unlikely, but my number one favorite show that we've done, and I'm bringing this guest on in a couple of weeks, was with a man named Father Alan Benender, who is a Norbertine priest. He has a passion for baseball. And Jimmy G, my engineer and chief fact checker, shares a passion for baseball.
Has he showed you some of his cards yet?
Yeah, oh, yes. Rick, he either brings in a card or he wears a jersey. It's always some point that sparks the conversation back to baseball. But anyway, so Father Alan came on. He was so much fun. A lot of his relatives called in. And we talked about the correlation, why baseball is so Catholic. And
I got to hear this.
Oh, it was really fun. It was, and my countdown had the five ways that Catholicism is very much like the sport of baseball. And then I had a trivia quiz between Jimmy G and Father Alan, kind of to see who had the best knowledge of baseball trivia. And people love that. And that was really, that's part of the Catholic culture. And I love getting into stuff like that.
I'm kind of curious, what were a couple of the things that stood out as being so analogous to the Catholic faith in baseball?
Okay. In the baseball field, you have to get to first base, second base, and third base before you can get home. In the Catholic faith, you have to touch bases with the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Son before you can get home. I think there was also something to do. What were some of the other ones?
Before you could get home. I love it.
Mm-hmm. I know. We had them all scripted out. Well, he's coming on in a couple of weeks, and we are going to talk about how spring training in baseball. He can correlate anything to baseball, and he's a very, very good religious priest. But we're talking about spring training and how we all have to kind of go into spring training every once in a while with our faith. So he's going to bring it around to baseball, but but it'll be fun.
It sounds like this could be done as a church retreat for a couple of days. You'd have him over, just bring your baseball bats and gloves. So and when you're all done and tired, you go into the baths, have a little bit of teaching, and everyone's good.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Peggy, when we come back, I want to go ahead and shift gears one more time, okay. But we'll talk about that in a minute. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. We're coming to you live from the L.A. Congress here in Anaheim, California, and around us, surrounding us, have been people all over the place. We've had people coming by. You've been able to wave at people.
Yeah.
During the breaks,
like
we've been able
out
to talk
on Main
to people.
Street. Catholic
it
Main
is.
Street.
It is, and it's wonderful because we've got so much excitement and so much enthusiasm about being here. So I want to thank you in advance, before we get to our last segment, for coming in and being so brave as to share your time with us here, especially.
Well, I'm honored.
Well, I'm glad that you were willing to do it. And when we come back, I want to go ahead and talk a little bit more about how this has impacted you, but also where you think this is going from here. And I know you've already said that you don't necessarily, you haven't planned.
You haven't scripted it.
You haven't scripted it yet. But I'm kind of curious as to how you prognosticate about the future.
Can we do that in the Catholic Church?
We are allowed to prognosticate. It's only a venial sin.
So, okay.
You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick with Peggy Normandine, and we will be right back. And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Peggy Normandy, who has been bravely going through all of these details about not only her radio show, but her life. And I want to thank you so much for being so open.
And you're still awake.
We're laughing and having a very good time. And as you can all hear, anyone who's tuned in is wondering, what's that noise in the background? That noise is joyful. It's a joyful noise unto the Lord. Yeah. You've got a lot of people here who are at the Los Angeles Religious Education Congress.
40,000 people, Rick.
40,000 people over the weekend are going to be coming by here, and they're all going through our booth at this time.
Yeah.
But we've got not only people that are wandering around who are walking around with ice cream cones that look really very good.
Well, you know, and it's cute. Here in the OC Catholic booth, we're handing out oranges, which I think is very cute.
Oh, I would love one. Anyway, but we'll come back to that after this is done. But we are here because we have the ability to be a presence in the Diocese of Orange. We're a presence in Los Angeles and San Diego as well, and in Riverside, San Bernardino counties, really all of Southern California. And so this has been a great gift that you've brought to us, and I hope that people who may not have had a chance to link into your show on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock in our listening area, that those people have a chance to actually listen. It's a wonderful show. It's to be able to hear something uplifting about life as a Catholic is a very nice thing to be able to do.
Well, Rick, I always say I wanted to create an ambience of just like having your favorite Catholic friends sitting around after dinner, and you got that next cup of coffee or whatever, and you just chat. And whether you talk about the faith or whether you talk about what's going on in your work or in your neighborhood or whatever, it all comes from the same lens. It comes from that distinctly Catholic lens. And that's all I hope to achieve through that hour of conversation on Call Me Catholic.
I'm curious, though, because that may have been all you wanted to achieve, but I'm sure that in the last couple of years since you've been working on this and focused on this and engaged with this with so much of your energy and so much of your life, it's had an impact on you. What has that impact been like for you?
Well, it's very humbling. I will say it's very humbling, and I adore Mother Angelica. I never had a chance to meet her in person, although I did attend her funeral mass. I had the great privilege of going to that. I read both of her biographies by Raymond Arroyo, and I would encourage anybody to read them because they are beautiful. She was a fascinating woman.
Yes, she was.
So I got to know Mother
Angelica. Canton, Ohio. I'm a Buckeye.
Oh, you came from the same city.
Not from Canton. I've got family members that live currently in Canton.
Okay.
I was born in Barberton,
Okay. So
not that far away. But anyway, go ahead.
It's all Ohio. Well, her life became very real to me. I had read her book. I had followed EWTN for a long time. So when I suddenly had this opportunity to become part of the EWTN family, I was humbled. I honestly felt completely unworthy. And I felt like I better get my game going because Mother Angelica never settled for anything less than your very, very best effort. So I developed kind of a friendship with her while she was still alive, only just kind of spiritual. I learned as much as I could about her. I tried to draw from her life. And she put so much trust in God with so little earthly capability that she had. She really didn't have either the education or the financial resources or the experience to do what she did, build the largest religious media outlet in the world. So her life has inspired me a great deal, and I try to share the Mother Angelica story with as many people as I can. And it reminds me, so getting to know her like I have and taking on this kind of risky endeavor, you know, going live every Saturday. It's, can't do it alone. I mean, you have to, I have Jimmy Jean, but you have to have the Holy Spirit alongside of you, and you have to pray because there's no other way I could be doing this. So it's really built up my spiritual friendships and my spiritual relationships and my spiritual awareness. I have to read more. I have to, you know, I have to stay sharp. So it's been really great for me and humbling because I make a whole lot of mistakes and I have to walk away and think, nobody's going to alter their life because of that, Peggy. You just get over your mistakes. You're not perfect.
No, and somewhere along the line, I'm sure during the time that you're on, you made someone smile, made someone think a little bit more about what it is to be Catholic and why that can be something we can do with joy. I mean, for so many people, I'm sure when they think about their Catholic faith, they kind of think about it as something, well, this is something I do, but I'm not sure I really want to tell anybody because how will I be received? And you're out there and you say, hey, we're Catholic, we're having fun. This is a good thing
to do.
Right.
And we do. We try to have a good time every Saturday. And I think the other kind of fruit of it has been, it's been really nice for my sons to see me doing this. I think they are really in my corner on this too. My husband and I have been married 33 years. We have three sons that are all still single in their 20s. And they all have kind of taken a little ownership of it, too. You know, they've spread it. Their friends come on and like my Facebook page and everything. And I'm pleased that they are not embarrassed by it. They are great cheerleaders for me whenever I'm feeling discouraged or like, I don't think this is the right fit for me. Come on, Mom, you can do it. And my husband, too. So it's been a nice experience for our whole family.
It's been a nice experience all around here. We've got people that are making lots of noise.
Is that bingo or a wheel of fortune or something
sure
going on over
going
there?
Over there, but they're having a very good time
they
with
are.
It. I think it was a response.
Bingo is very Catholic.
It is very Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
There was the, what was the joke about the person who was hit by a car? It was a very sad story, and someone, he called for a priest, and the person said, I'm not a priest, but I live next to a church for 8 years. I'm not even Catholic, but I know what to say. And so he goes up to him and says, B3O.
Oh, boy.
Sorry. Bad. Anyway, but back to where we were with
you.
Because, again, we're coming to you from the floor of this huge conference.
Very animated conference.
And it's something that is a wonderful thing to be able to be involved with. But still, as we're talking about, there's a reality to our Catholic faith that often is so very serious. But I'm listening to you, and it sounds like it's not so serious as it's just real, and it's been real with your sons, it's been real with you, and it's something to engage in.
You know, but it's also work, Rick, and this is what I would tell Catholics, that you can't just take the brand and the sacraments and say, okay, did that, so therefore I'm a member of the club. You're going to cheat yourself of so many of the riches. I think we have such great Catholic writers out there. Believe me, whatever your style of reading is, there's a Catholic author who writes to it.
What's your style? What do you like to read most?
Well, I like fiction.
You like
so
Catholic
to me,
fiction?
I just reread Willa Cather's Death Comes to the Archbishop, Comes for the Archbishop. Brilliant book. I love Graham Greene's Power of the Glory. I love fiction, but I also love some of the classics. I love Fulton Sheen's writings. So there is the simple little parable type of writings. There's a lot, and there's also a lot to learn. There is the catechism, and we can't really claim that we know everything we should know about our faith. Nobody does. So we have to stay on it and take advantage of the opportunities to educate ourselves and take advantage of knowing the people that came before us, the saints. So it isn't all just, I wouldn't say that it's, I would ever try to impart the fact that it's all fun and games, but it is a reason to rejoice. And the more you know, the more you rejoice.
Well, God is clearly involved with what is happening in your program. He's been very involved, clearly.
Well,
as you said, you've got the Holy Spirit riding beside you. I don't doubt that for a second. So my question is, since all of us are rational beings, we're allowed to kind of look to see, God, what are you doing in my life now?
Mm-hmm.
And ask the question, and we kind of get preliminary answers. Sometimes God laughs hysterically, I think, when we come up with our answers. But what do you think God is doing with you, and where do you think God is going with this program? Where do you think you, Peggy Normandy, where do you go from here?
Wow, that's a really interesting question. I stopped planning that stuff. You know, honestly, Rick, if I charted that out, it would not come to fruition. It just wouldn't happen. So I think at this point, my agenda is to do a good show every Saturday. And even though it's just an hour, I put a lot into it. I really do put a lot into it. And I take responsibility for it, and I try to research it, and I try to be respectful of my guests so that I know about them. And that's all I'm trying to do, is just do a good show every Saturday. And if at some point in time somebody says, well, that was fun, Peggy, bye-bye now, I'll say, okay, that was great. If some opportunity comes to expand the program, I'll see if I have the ability to do that. I truly feel that I just want to do a good show every time I get on the air. And that's my goal. That's all I can do right now. It's as much as I can fit into my life.
Right now, you're here. You're at the L.A. Congress. Are you going to take your microphone out and go wander around and talk about it?
You know what? I'm going to do my Chatting with Catholics. I'm going to ask them what some of these people are doing for Lent, because that's one of the questions I would say, like, what are you giving up for Lent? And then just get all kinds of different responses to that. I love hanging around the EWTN booth and meeting different members of the EWTN family, because, of course, as you pointed out, I'm here in Orange County, and the EWTN family is mostly based there in Irondale, Alabama, yep. Birmingham, Alabama. And I know they have some affiliates. You know, there's a studio in Washington and all. But I really like getting to know some of my EWTN peeps, because I haven't gotten to know them.
Your peeps.
My peeps.
I like it.
Yeah, and it's really been fun, though, because I haven't had that much opportunity to get to know them. It's been a long-distance relationship, and yet I have to trust them, because they get us on the air, and they do a great job of promoting the show and including me in their family public relations and stuff like that.
It's a very dynamic group of people. I had the privilege, I think, in fact, it was right around the time they were announcing your show at the Radio Congress. I was out there a couple years ago.
I remember that, Rick. That's when I met you.
That's when I met you. And the people that are part of that whole programming, they're a very interesting group. It's still the same group that Mother Angelica basically handpicked, with very few exceptions, and they've got a very clear calling. Much like you seem to have a very clear calling. And I want to thank you so very much for being on the air with me and for coming and spending your time with us. Peggy, would you be so kind as to lead us in a word of prayer for our listening audience who have been listening to you talk about your life? Let's go ahead and give them a word of prayer, too.
Okay, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Lord, thank you for guiding our conversation today. I pray that whatever I had to say came from you and from the message that you want to impart to people that enjoy listening to Catholic radio and engage with all the different kinds of Catholic media out there. Mother Angelica, if you are on your way to heaven, pray for us. We'll pray for you. Continue to guide the Catholic media as it grows and spreads the good news of the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. And Peggy, I want to thank you so very much for being on personally. It has not only been good to meet you, it's been good to have an hour to talk with you and to learn a little bit more about how you understand what you're doing with your faith in this programming, because it's such a wonderful experience to be able to do this. I know from my perspective, and I'm so glad that you were able to share that as well with me and with our listening audience.
Well, Rick, it's a great pleasure, and you have an excellent show, too. I know that you bring out some of the great personalities from Catholic personalities from our Orange County region, and you bring out the best in them. So I know that's very edifying to the people of Southern California and upwards of the coast.
Thank you so much. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. With me today is with Peggy Normandy. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Bye-bye.